mindset. It's about conditioning the mind, body, and spirit. It takes practice, commitment, vision, goal setting, determination, sharp focus, respect, and discipline. Once you learn it, you can apply it to all aspects of your life. The Warrior's Mindset prepares you for the largest competition ever, the competition against self.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Brief introduction.
I'm Eric Harris, one of the black belts. Lately, the Bam Johnson School from its original startup in Laurel. And I'm here to tell you a little bit about how our journey meshed together.
From your first days of joining the BAMS, what made you decide that particular school?
My wife and I noticed the school, and what we really liked was the energy and the involvement with the students and the kids, and how it looked like it was a lot of fun. There was discipline and everything you expect from martial arts, but it looked like it was a lot of fun, and it also looked very authentic and very real.
So when you first went in, who were the first people to join? Did your whole family join at the beginning, or was it just one?
At first, I brought my young son in, and then I joined. And then about a year and a half later, my wife joined. And then we were all on different time lengths. Ultimately, over the years, each achieved a black.
So when you joined, was it at the main location? Where did you originally start classes at?
We started over at when they had a location over at the Fairlands Aquatic Center in the community room up there. And then we followed him over to Laurel when he opened up his big grand opening for his new school.
What was it like in the your first couple of classes there at Fairlands Aquatic Center?
It was very difficult, a lot of hard physical stuff, but it was also fun, and you could see how you could progress. The other thing was that I immediately realized how far, just on a physical level, how far ahead students were at the different levels.
And what was it, as far as with the fun, what would you describe as a good fun class and serious discipline class?
Well, the classes generally would have a warm-up and then some general exercise, and that was always upbeat, music, high energy, and fun. It was hard, but it was kind of fun. And Professor Bam always made that kind of, energetic. As we did more fighting or serious forms or things that were related to combat or life and death issues or whatever, then it became much more of a discipline and less and more serious.
Okay. For you, as a parent, what was it that you were really looking for as far as for your son, and when did you begin to see that particular subject matter that you was looking for starting to manifest in your kid?
Well, initially, I wanted my kids to be active and participate in athletics. And I knew from having done some martial arts when I was young that it really helps your overall fitness and your confidence. As you're a little young person, you develop your physical capabilities and your balance and confidence that you know how to use your body. And then that kind of grew as we stayed and moved up in belts. You could see the advantage of learning how to defend yourself or how to know how to get out of situations to protect yourself or others.
And through your son, did you see that starting to manifest? Or, how would you describe, the overall class or acknowledgement of progress for your son?
Well, my son became very adept at using his body and being very physically fit, and it helped him in different sports that he's tried. And he just recently graduated from the Air Force Special Forces, which is an extremely hard school to get through both physically and mentally. And I have no doubt that he fell back on all of the struggles to become a black belt as a man.
As a kid, did you ever have any doubt? As a parent, what was it like just seeing him struggle through remembering the forms or losing confidence, and how did the instructors, support that, the positive development?
Well, when a parent is responsible for raising their kids and exposing them to things, but they're not always the best person to reach a child on certain issues. And that's why we have teachers and mentors and pastors and things. And so the instructors at the BAMS were very good at encouraging and reaching and getting a kid to go to another level, even when maybe due to the frustrations of a parent and child, you couldn't get them to go there. And so that was fun to watch them grow and gain self-confidence on things that they did themselves.
Now, it's from a combative standpoint, what was the difference, I guess, in the approach of how the self-defense or the life experiences that Professor Van probably had, how was that like introduced to you as a parent and your child? It's coming out right.
Well, when you first start out and you bring your child there, you know, you may have preconceived notions of what martial arts are, what they're going to learn or whatever. And, you know, we all like the Karate Kid and all that kind of stuff, but that's not really real life for most people. And the truth of the matter is most people can't fight that good, even if they're a black belt, in terms of real world combat. What they have is confidence and some skill and some ability to know how when to not fight or when to run away, you know, to save yourself. It's not really about fighting. But what I noticed with the kids was they gained skill and knowledge, that the difference in the program from a lot of martial arts school was that Professor Bam came from a hard environment and had been in real fights, some probably for life or death, and could give a perspective on that was very different, a realistic notion of what that was like. So he kept the sport fighting and forms and stuff like that real, but also explain the difference between what would happen in the real world. And as a result of that, we also did a lot of cross training in other disciplines, ground fighting, grappling, knife fighting, so that you were familiar with how that might come into play in a real world fight.
And I guess introducing it, was it ever taught in a manner where it came across as like disrespectful, like real street, stereotypical, what you see, thug attitude, or how was it presented to you, just a broad spectrum of people?
Well, as we went through different belt levels and became more confident and higher level, different levels of intensity were introduced. You can't take a young yellow belt or white belt, a beginning student, and expose them to the intensity of a real street fight. They'll never understand it or be able to absorb it or learn from it. But as we went up in levels, that intensity and that realism came up, because you have to be able to feel the adrenaline rush of being in a real fight, and you have to simulate that as close as possible without actually doing it. And then as you work up in belt levels, become a black belt, you have to learn to be able to control that, because you have that response, that fight or flight response always comes. It's a matter of what you do with it. Can you control it? Can you still think? Can you still have enough control over your emotions to be able to make good decisions?
As a dad, the warrior of the family, how do you feel like the warrior spirits of, you know, the instructor and yourself and other instructors and students in the school were able to mash together and work in a harmonious level for the community and our families as a whole?
Well, the real struggle is not fighting other people. Those come rarely in most people's life, and if they do, hopefully you'll be in shape and mentally able to survive it. The real struggle in our lives is to do the right thing, to take care of our families, to be honest, to make hard decisions, and to support other people. The school always had a strong level of community. It was a strong level of service. Black belts were required. They asked the students to give black belts respect, but the black belts didn't get the respect unless they earned it by being servants to the other students. They weren't just running around being masters. They were servants as well as examples. So they had to maintain a high standard of quality, because the real combat is living daily life.
And what was that, I guess, even with our relationship as a, you know, student, friend, and family, how do you think that evolved, even knowing where I came from? What is like, how did it evolve to be some, I guess, so genuine and precious? Because that's how I look at it. what would you say? I mean, and trustworthy and.
Well, I think one of the secrets to Professor Bam's success as a person, not just as a school owner or instructor, is that he has the ability to be vulnerable. He never ducks his past or where he came from. He's willing to put that all out on the line and then be open to suggestions or knowledge that other people have. He imparts his knowledge willingly from martial arts, his life experiences on the street. In return, he gets examples from people that have done things business-wise, parentally, whatever, and he absorbs that. And that, so that developed our relationship much closer because we could have deep and honest conversations. The other thing is I know that what we talk about that's not public stays with you, and what you talk to me about stays with me. And that's a trust that we have not only as each other, but that I have with each of the other five black belts that came in my class.
And how important is that sort of principle? I guess they talk about it like in the mafia, among soldiers, among just warriors, where it's just a certain level of trust that you naturally develop, like you're talking about. How important is that? I guess just basic human respect or human connection. How and why do you think it's lost in our society?
Well, I think what's important is you cited examples like the mafia, et cetera. They have a very strong code of conduct. However, it's based on a corrupted basis. So in organizations like the Marines, in our school, there was an understanding that we were moral and honest human beings, honest with ourselves first and with others second, and that if so that our code of silence or trust with each other was absolute but was built on a sound and wholesome framework.
And how would you say that's different where if somebody, you know, read this or they see it, they might say, well, you come from the street. What about that stop snitching when people, how different is that what we're talking about from that, to me, a crazy mentality the kids have where shut up, don't tell, don't snitch.
I think that one of the most corrupt things in our society is how we take on false respect. We use the word disrespect, and many times what it means is you're doing something that I don't like, or you're putting me in danger. Or you know, there's a big difference between asking you to hide my misbehavior or criminality. I now make you party to my criminality. It's a sin of omission rather than a sin of commission. You keep your mouth shut and bad things happen. We've got to attack that in society. There's a difference between being a tattletale in school and telling everything that everybody did and not telling genuinely bad or wrong things, murders, crimes, people doing vile things to children, and we don't talk about it, and it perpetuates that. The other thing it does takes genuine authorities in our lives that we rely on every day, the police, the fire, et cetera. For the most part, those people are good servants trying their best to keep society safe. And if we denigrate them and reject them, we'll just fall into anarchy.